Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Traversing the Stars podcast. How are my loyal listeners? Thank you for your continued support. We have an amazing show for you all because we have the guy with the coolest name in cinema boarding the Muller ship. His name is Eldar Scar, and he stars in The Northmen. Now come join me as we go traversing the stars.
Hello, Mr. Scar. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
You definitely have the coolest name in Hollywood. Eldar Scar is one of those names that is a movie name, like not just an actor name, but in the movie name.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I didn't have to audition for this part. They just picked my name and said, come along.
Well, I mean, I would imagine with a name like that, you have to be a badass. You can't just be like any regular guy with a name like that.
You know, I have to disappoint you. I'm really just a humble... There's not a bad fiber in my body, sorry to say.
No worries. So I always start with a question of inspiration. So what inspired you to become an actor, and who were your earliest influences?
Oh, it's I have to say I grew up in a theater family. My father was a theater director, and my mom is a props master at the theater. So I early on I got exposed to theater, and I started to make my own characters when I was going to school, and I was fooling around and trying to make girls look at me, you know. So I was being a clown, and then in a way that kind of started it. But I really didn't think I was going to be an actor until suddenly was an actor when I was studying, and I just thought, well, then I suppose I'll try to go to an acting school. So I did, and then I became an actor. Influences, I like Daniel Day-Lewis is really I really like him.
Yeah.
And also Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe is awesome, and everything he does, he is like a human CGI effect.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's great.
So as you're saying, so when you're a little kid, you used to play pretend and play different characters. So yeah. So what is the evolution between playing the different characters when you were a kid, and then becoming an actor? I mean, is it fine tuning that skill? Is it not losing that imagination that you had growing up? How does that connect?
Well, it's there's a lot of craft when you start to study it. But when you play as a kid, you're just fooling around and you're playing with your imagination. I think that keeping that a lot of that alive, even though you're doing your craft and you learn your craft, you still have to bring your imagination, and that's a good thing. So I think those worlds collided would be perfect.
So I read that while attending Oslo Natural Academy of the Arts, you trained in improv and the performing arts. So how did those two things turn you into the actor you are now?
Well, I think that coincidences, because on the way you start to make different projects with different people, and you don't always like, I want to work with it. It's by chance often, but then you often end up doing a lot of different things, and even though it might be bad things, you always learn things from it. So I think that it's a lot of just the eagerness to do things and create something, and just doing something always keeps you evolved, I think. But also, you know, that of course, the class I went to, I went for 4 years at at acting school. We were a really good class, a really well-made gang. We were like a really good clique, and we fed off each other, and we actually decided to make a group. Obviously, when we ended school, we actually started a new group, and that's weird because you're so tired of each other. But then we found out that the only way to make things we want to make on our own is by making a group and doing the things we want to do, and so we have been doing things up through the years, for 10 years now.
Yeah, and I read that you also have this great background in theater. I mean, you were in here, you were in Hamlet, and I will say right now, as a high school teacher, I've just started reading Hamlet with my students, and it's a great play. So who did you play in Hamlet?
I played Polonius.
Oh, very nice role. Yeah.
And now I'm actually doing Shakespeare 13th.
12th night.
And I recently learned that he actually wrote those plays simultaneously. He was writing both Hamlet and 12th Night the same time. It's crazy. And I think he was in a deep depression because he had lost a kid, and you know. But 12th Night is a comedy, but it's so dark, but still so funny because it has both worlds, like the light and the dark. What's the question?
No, I must admit, I didn't know he wrote them at the same time, but that's a hell of a thing to be able to pull off. So you know, when I'm not writing Hamlet, I'm busy writing 12th Night. That's classic. So playing Polonius, that must have been a great achievement for you. I mean, Shakespeare is the pinnacle for an actor, and as a stage actor, how difficult was it for you to perform Shakespeare?
It was hard at the beginning to find. It's also because it was a German director, and he had this idea of everything was like in the East Germany in the 70s. It was set like in the East Germany in the 70s. So it has had this specific look and aesthetics about it. And that's cool. But also it was hard to break through the verses and do the things he wanted because he wanted like a he wanted Polonius to be like a spastic, like a his mind was going in 120 and and with those verses and to try to break through those verses and do them like just straight from a natural from the soul. It was quite tough, but at the end I think it was really fun, so that was a good thing.
So do you prefer stage acting or film acting?
Oh, good question. Right now I've been doing so much stage plays, so I would like to go on a big movie again. Been a while. Yeah.
You know,
I like both. It's great to do both.
Well, I read that you were in a I haven't heard about the series until I did some research on you. But the more I was read about it, the more timely and fascinating it became. You were in a Norwegian series called Occupied. Is that correct?
Yeah. And it was quite big in the States, I think.
I didn't see it, unfortunately.
No problem.
But what for the listeners who may not know about it, it's about the Russian occupation of Norway.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, in the real world right now, we have an occupation happening with Russia right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how relevant does that series feel now? And when you guys were filming it, what do you think to yourselves? This is really feels like something could happen. Like, did you even imagine something like that would be so relevant 4 years later, 5 years later?
Actually, while we were filming it in 2015, suddenly, like a couple of weeks in the beginning, Russia started to annex Crimea.
Yep.
So during the film, because in the beginning it was like it's just an idea, and Russia it's just used like an idea of and blah blah blah. But suddenly they start to annex and went into Crimea, and but it felt really, it was absurd, really absurd. But now it's like it's even more absurd. There's so many things in that series that. We were just playing with ideas, but it has really, today the world is really looking much more like that reality. And that's so strange. And now you see Finland and Sweden are suddenly beginning to talk about NATO. And
So when you made, looking back at what you did in Occupied, do you feel that, the weight of what you were doing, like when you, cause I said, as you're doing it, Crimea was being annexed by Russia. Did that add extra weight and responsibility to what you guys were doing to make sure it was as believable as possible, and or at least very much a commentary as well of what could be?
Yeah, I was, and also had a feeling that the people who made it, they were really, they were anxious to not like. Take a clear side, you know, because or like it's like we didn't want to make like this classical spy Russian villains like Cold War movies, which we all have seen for of course, but we wanted to like look at the gray zones and you know, but then again they are the aggressor in the series, but there also are ordinary Russians portrayed in the series, which are really, you get sympathetic with them. And my character happens to fall in between both the Russian side and the Norwegian side, and tries to be like a moderator or like a peacekeeper, but then it always switches. So. I can sympathize with that character now more maybe than when I played it. It's like, but it's absurd.
I mean, I kind of feel like what's going on in the real world gives Occupied a second life, because once again, they can look at that show, look at what's happening, and there really is, it feels more allegorical now to what's going on.
Yeah, a lot of Norwegian critics left. At the
really
scene. What is this, this is not possible, and this is just so but then again it's just fiction, you don't have to like, it's not, we're right. Not telling you it's going to happen tomorrow, but then suddenly things start to happen, and now I think that series would have been like they wouldn't laugh at it at this same way.
I will say it's probably the saddest I told you so that's owed to them that was ever said.
Absolutely.
Because Occupied has become so relevant based on what's going on in the real world, has it changed your perspective on the value of art and the impact it could have in creating discussion and to inform people of what could be?
Yeah, I'm still a believer in art in that way. Well, I have to, because I have worked with it. I have to believe in it. But I do. I really do. I think art can make people with different ideas and different people, different kind of people and different backgrounds all the way, meet and have a really good way of communicating without like going to a political discussion, but you can, we are humanity and we can find ways to communicate and be together. So both in like acting together or working together with art, or also experiencing art. I think it's really important. And in these times, it's so interesting with well, your country. So we look at you and we think of you as you are so polarized.
Yes.
It's so much more clear now than it might have been like 15, 20 years ago. Now it feels to us like it's really polarized. And I also
imagine what it's like when it's being here. It feels even more that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, we need art. We need really need it to find our.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, those people who may not have given maybe the respect to the arts as they deserve, when you look at what's going on with COVID as well, and then this, art has played such an important role over the last few years of making, one, people get through the hard times like COVID, and also, you know, once again, open discussion of what's going on right now in the world as well. And I do wonder if people are now viewing art as importantly as they should have always.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So when you're looking for your roles in the future, do you seek out roles that are projects of impact, or are you looking for something more for entertainment? What are your goals?
I think that it always will be the big picture always be there. Like, what's this project, what does this project want, what is this project, has it got something to tell, is it important? Then I might trump the idea of earning a lot of money, I can do it for less money. It's really important. This is something important to say. It will. But then again, I'm a family man. I have two young children. Of course, I have to earn money. So it's always this fight. But in a ideal world, I would just choose the good projects.
Well, your recent project, The Northman, is a great movie. It's fantastic in its how it's filmed. My wife absolutely loves it to death. And you played Finner, the snub nose in The Northman. Now, once again, we're talking about important roles. The movie is based on a Scandinavian legend of Amleth, I think is how you pronounce the name.
Yeah.
So how important was this movie for you to participate in it?
It was a really once in a lifetime chance. When I studied, when I heard about the project, I never heard about Robert Eggers before. So after I got the role, I watched his two earlier movies, and I became a fan because he's really good, and he comes from this the art house and the indie movie background, but his vision is so clear and so that was like really magnetic to me. Then I got the role, and they got financial situation in order, and we had go, and then COVID hit, so we had like 4 months extra preparation or whatever. But during the time working with him, maybe also because of COVID, I spent a lot more time on set and where we were shooting. We couldn't travel that much, and we were much more, when we were on set, we were like I think much more like community based, because when we were not at the set, when we were at the hotel rooms, we couldn't go out, we just had to sit alone in the hotel rooms. So when we were joined by others, we were like unity. So but also he, it was so great it's something when he talked about all the details on my costumes and my knife and my sword and where it was found. It was found in Finland and blah blah blah. And it was like, wow, he knows everything, every detail on everything you're wearing and all your knives and everything. And I'm not Norwegian. This is the time I've never learned as much about Vikings as I did on the Northmen. So it was great.
So when he's giving you, I mean, once again, the story takes place in 10th century Iceland, I believe. Yeah. When the director gives you all those details, you know, where the knife comes from, the costume, all this other stuff, how do you incorporate that as an actor? What does that do for you in your performance?
Well, it gave me a specific feeling of being somebody specific. Finner was my name. The nose stuff. There's no like background detail, but I knew that my knife was found in Finland and my sword was. So it was like this kind of. I had a feeling this is already somebody has worn this, and I'm now putting my skin from this person myself. So it was like, and also on the set, you're immersed with a Viking village. There's everything is as real as it can be. Mm. So it feeds it. You feed off it. It was kind of easy to get into the mold when you're on the set.
Well, yeah. I mean, the movie was shot. I mean, I was fascinated watching how the movie was, you know, shot from the camera work. Yeah. Once again, as you mentioned, the movie's directed by Robert Eggers. I think what I found fascinating about the shoot was that, and I may be wrong in this, I may be just in my own head, but when I was watching it, I felt it was shot differently than I've seen a movie shot in a long time. Like shots were, he held onto one shot much longer than in movies currently. Like usually nowadays, edits every couple of seconds, edit.
Yeah.
Stays on a shot. He actually does these long tracking shots. I mean, as someone who has experience as a theater actor, how did that background help you in this type of environment of shooting?
It was great because most of the scenes are shot on a crane and are longer takes, long takes. So everything has to match, everything has to be timed, everything has to be have a feel, have a flow, have a rhythm. And as theater backgrounds, I think everybody who had theater backgrounds.
Advantage,
thank you.
No worries.
And it's so fun because as an actor, you feel that you're not caught up and put into places you don't want to be. It's your time, it's your breathing, it's your rhythm, and it's there. And you won't be cut out of the movie. That's great.
So does it feel more natural to perform in that way instead of the short cut scenes?
Yeah, it does.
You know, and the other thing I found a lot with Eggers watching The Northmen is the dialogue. It had a sort of Shakespearean style to it.
Yeah.
And once again, having played Hamlet and in Twelfth Night, did you also feel that gave you an advantage in doing the lines? And was it difficult to handle the lines the way they were? Once again, it kind of has an older style feel to it.
Yeah, I didn't think so much about the way it was written. What I worked most on was talk like I had no nose. So also the dialect, like the way the language and the dialect in a way, but mostly what I worked on with the language director or the guy who taught us the language was the way I was the sound was coming out of my face. Because a lot of people think that it's a nasal sound, but when you have no nose, there's no nasal sound. So it's just air flowing. And the balance between talking weirdly and making people understand what you say was really a fight, but Robert Eggers, he really let me bring it far out. And then, of course, in ADR, we had to like adjust some things because the studio was going crazy. But he actually kept it quite, almost the way we shot it. So, yeah.
So how did you finally decide upon the sound for your voice that you wanted for this character, for Finner?
I think it was... I think, of course, together with the guy who was teaching me how to talk without the nose, but also it's something about the sound of it, and after doing shouting and screaming, because that's a lot of what my character do, because he shouts a lot to the slaves. So
yeah.
it would have been blowing his voice a lot. So I found some of quite early, after shouting without a nose, it just appeared.
it's a fascinating new skill that you have now. You know how to talk. Yeah. If you ever lose your nose, you're fine.
If I get hired with those skills, I will. Celebrate.
And also, the cast of the Northmen is tremendous. I mean, you have William Dafoe, Ethan Hawke, Nicole Kidman, Alexander Skarsgård. What was the experience on set, surrounded by so many prestigious actors?
Yeah, it was great. Back to what I talked about earlier, because I think because of COVID and the situation, and everybody had to be like in a hotel room when we didn't shoot. And so when we shot, when we were shooting, we were like excited to be together. And also the big stars, like Alexander is like the greatest, coolest guy, like a down to earth. So and he's Swedish, so we could talk a bit, we could understand without switching to it, but we mostly talked English anyways. So cool. I was kind of starstruck when I met William Dafoe, but I just met him. It was just one day when I was shooting and did the elbow, and I just started to stare at him. I think he was like being self-aware.
So you freaked out. So you freaked out William Dafoe?
I think I freaked him out. Yeah.
That's all right. At least I remember. He'd be like, "Who the fuck is this guy who keeps staring at me?"
Yeah. Weirdo.
That's really funny though. So what did that whole experience teach you, being around this crew and like I said, and these actors the way you were?
You know. It taught me that everybody's human, and people are people. They're not like this big star, because I also had like ideas that a lot of the big names, they would be like too good for other low lives, but they're really, really nice people. At least this cast was really, really nice people.
And because it's such, once again, the environment too is so physical.
Yeah.
How hard was it to train and prepare to be in this film?
I trained a hell of a lot riding horses, but I just rode once in one scene, so. But there was a lot of preparation. There was a lot of horse riding, a lot of stunt rehearsals. But I don't think I did the most of those things. I didn't do a lot of stunt things, but there's a lot of long scenes with semi-action, and you have to be like super prepared. So, of course, so we did it plenty of times. And then it was like we did some readings beforehand, but then again, also it's like in a room. You're like in a room with a office desk, and okay, this is the scene. You're coming from that hill, and you're going. So you have to go like okay, so 3 meters away. Okay, you come now. You're coming from this. That's just fake that you're coming from that hill, like 500 meters away. So it was like, yeah, okay, but it's good to just let's just talk about the scene. It's like it's impossible to prepare without being on the set. That's when you see what you're gonna do.
So as Finner, you had your nose cut off by the kid, yeah. And I assume it was a CGI nose, not makeup. It wasn't prosthetic. It was a CGI.
Thanks God.
So I mean, is it hard to act with whatever they had covering up your nose? I mean, did you feel kind of like funny, or did you just get used to it?
No, it was just dots in my face. Just dots. 32 dots in my face. So it's like, and people were like, is that war? Is war paint or what? It's those dots. But I'm really glad they did the dots and not the
prosthetics.
Yeah, prosthetics. That would be, because it was talking about prosthetics, but that would be like 4 or 5 hours, I think.
I would imagine. I don't know how you even would lose a nose in prosthetics. I mean, I'm sure they would figure it out, but that would be probably really uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
So where can our listeners find the Northmen in the States?
I think that now it's just ended on cinema, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Amazon Prime,
yep,
I think will have it. And there's a bunch of things I just saw display of some of the, but there's a lot of things I've never heard about. But Apple TV. Yeah, I think they will have it, and probably a lot more. But
it was a great movie. My wife loved it. It's a weird movie, but it's really entertaining. And I think it's a movie that it's odd. It's like an epic scale action movie filmed by a very auteur indie filmmaker, and I think we've seen something like that in a long, long time.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and when we were starting to shoot, I also felt that this is, even though I'm not that super experienced, at least not in those big big movies, but this is going to be something special, because that crane again, we're doing, and everything is on the film, and it's like, there's just one camera all the time. So there's no chance of like backup or
right.
Crazy. But it was really fun.
I mean, it definitely looks it. And like I said, the scale is unbelievable. And yeah. I hope they get around to do a sequel and, you know, explore the story further. What are you working on next?
Now I'm, there's theater. And then I'm doing a comedy series here in Norway. So I just have a smaller part in it. But I haven't done much comedy, and I think that would be fun to do. So we'll see.
So how do you prepare for comedy? I mean, how different is that from doing the dramatic roles for you?
It's not that big different, actually, because the more serious you take your character, I think the more funny, as long as the situations are funny.
Right.
Just have to believe in that character, and then it will be funny as hell.
Well, Mr. Scar, you're fantastic to talk with, and hopefully.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew.